Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Elledge. Let's get into it. With us right now, it's Wyatt Kirby. Wyatt, you are the founding partner of Apsys Labs. You're found on the web at apsys.io. Really excited to talk about the work that you do, especially now with so much evolution that's going on in your space. Before we do that, Wyatt, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, great to be here, Josh.
Yeah, and always love asking our founders, our leaders, you know, who are generally multi-passionate, what they're into outside of work. What have you been into, or what are you geeking out on currently?
Sure. So I'm actually a huge football fan, and this past year I took a step off the couch and I actually became a high school football referee. So I'm really enjoying the experience of getting on the field, working with some kids, engaging with the game that I love.
Wow. What is it like? I mean, I've heard, you know, talk to people who become coaches, you know, and that certainly is a role. But what is it like? I mean, obviously, you know, you're a successful guy and kind of doing this. Do you have kids that play? Like, what got you into this? And then that's part one. Part two, what do you get out of that experience?
Sure. So I do have a daughter. She's only 20 months old, so she's not playing football yet.
Not currently playing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She probably wouldn't make the roster given that she can't run yet. What got me into it is really I truly just really love the game of football. I love to watch it. I love to read about it. I love to know what's going on. And I saw some news this year that they're not really sure where the next generation of referees is going to come from. And part of it is that people don't really enjoy being the referee.
Yeah.
And I'll say I've only been doing this one season, but I can tell you truthfully, you do get yelled at. You get yelled at by everyone on the field.
Wow.
And it's not very, it's a pretty thankless role out there. But when I saw that, I thought, I've been yelled at a lot. I don't mind being yelled at. And I wanted to just, you know, be a part of the game. And I don't have the football IQ to be a coach. And I'm obviously a little too old to play football. I think those dreams have passed. So I thought, you know, this is a role that will fit for me.
Wow.
And what I get out of it is I think that it's really fun to be on the field. It's really fun to talk to the kids who are playing. I referee high school football here in Connecticut, and just the opportunity to engage with the kids who are playing a fun game out on a Saturday afternoon. It's just really rewarding.
What does it, you know, I'm still thinking about the fact of like getting yelled at. And, you know, while that certainly doesn't feel nice, you know, to some extent, there's probably some benefit to that in terms of strengthening your skin. How have you processed that?
Sure. I mean, usually when you're getting yelled at, it's because you threw a flag or something's going on the field. And really, you only think one or two things. I think you either think, I'm right, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about because I read the rule book more recently, I know what I'm doing out here. Or you think, that dude's absolutely right, he's yelling at me for a good reason, and I got to just keep my head down and get to the next play because the game's got to keep going on. Mm-hmm. I can't stop and, you know, turn around, walk up to the stands and say, you know what, I did miss that hold. I'm sorry, buddy. So, you know, it's interesting, but for me, again, especially I realize this segment is about my personal hobbies and not work, but you know, I've been a contract software developer for 12 years, and while I like to think that the majority of our clients have been happy, not all of them have been happy all the time. And so, like I said, I've been yelled at before, and I think it's
you can't really control other people and what's going on in their life,
and sometimes you know, sometimes you do make mistakes. I make mistakes. I make mistakes professionally. I've made mistakes as a referee. And you sort of just, like you said, it strengthens not just like the toughness of my skin, but also sort of getting over, not wallowing in, oh man, I really messed that up. How am I going to make up for messing that up? And just say like, no, the right thing to do. We got to move on. We got to do the next thing right.
Wow. I absolutely love that. Thank you so much for sharing that insight. Well, Wyatt, tell me about Apsys.
Sure. So As I kind of already mentioned, we're a software development shop. So basically we do custom software development for small, medium, even enterprise businesses sometimes. And we've been doing that for a little over a decade now. There's a team of, we're seven right now. We actually had a developer just graduate. We call it graduate. We didn't let him go. We're really happy for him to move on. He's become a director of engineering at one of our former clients. So we're a team of seven right now. We usually sit between 7 and 10, and we work primarily on web and mobile applications. And usually, I don't want to pigeonhole us, but usually in like a healthcare vertical or a financial vertical, anywhere where there's sort of security regulations. So we have a team who are really knowledgeable and sort of experts at protecting user data and building systems that are compliant with any regulations for specific industries. So HIPAA compliance, PCI compliance, FERPA compliance. Really, if you throw any three random letters together and then say compliance, it's probably a regulation you got to contend with.
And how did you just find yourself in that space because you had a couple of early clients and what I'm curious about is, you know, in addition to like how you got into that, more importantly, I think is what is that world like as a developer, as opposed to, you know, say another development shop that might not be dealing with such, you know, strict compliance issues.
Sure. So how we got into it is actually, you hit the nail right on the head, is one of our earliest larger clients was a biotech company out of San Francisco. And so we really got in the door early as a development shop within the first year of us being a business, really learning the ins and outs of HIPAA compliance. And what we sort of realized from that process was that a lot of the compliance mandates are really effectively just security best practices. And I'm sure you know that just because something's a best practice doesn't mean it's a common practice. So what that means for us as a dev shop, I think, is both that, you know, we get to work in industries where there's some more interesting infrastructure decisions, how you are building and securing your user data, how you're building and securing your whole platform. But what it also means is that we're really just able to, I think, exercise a little bit more of our happy developer brain, where we get to say, no, we're going to do this right. We're not going to do this fast. And one of the things that I think is interesting is that for these regulated industries, especially, and I don't want to steer this whole conversation towards AI, but I'll say that, you know, dev is a space where AI is a big topic. Something that even the most recent frontier models are still not very good at is sort of system-wide security measures. So, you know, when we're talking about building systems that need to be HIPAA compliant or PCI compliant, or you're trying to get that ISO 27001 certification, and I apologize, I realize I'm throwing a lot of acronyms out there. All these
the right
all
people
these
know exactly what you're talking about. The rest sure. of us are like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Effectively, what it means is when someone shows up to audit whether or not your system is actually securing your user data correctly, you can say yes, it is. What we see is that these systems, these LLMs, these AI coding agents are reasonably good at producing some amount of code. But what they're not really good at doing is they're not really good at seeing the whole picture, what all your systems are going to do when they transfer data between them, how they're going to secure that data. So it's been an interesting place for us the last couple of years.
All right. So obviously, I need to ask you about the industry. What's going on? You know, obviously, AI, agentic work is probably impacting your work in a very, very big way. You know, we're into 2026 now. Give us, for those of us who are not watching your space regularly, and again, generally sort of room full of leaders here that are running, a lot of SMB leaders, what's going on right now?
Not much. Real quiet. Nothing's really changed for the last decade. No, obviously I like to think of our industry, and I guess I'll clarify. I'll say that my industry as a dev shop for hire developers, my industry is really sort of basic software development. I want to be really clear that a lot of what we do as for hire software developers is very boring tech. We are building really simple applications that are helping take businesses from pen and paper manual processes or processes that are built on top of things like Dropbox or Google Drive and Excel, and we're sort of getting them into that door of custom software. We're not on the frontier of anything. We're not, interesting research or crazy like virtual reality computer, none of that stuff. So what is happening in my industry from that vantage point of sort of the basic systems is really, really reminiscent to me of around 2012 to 2014, honestly. And what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot of companies decide that there is a cheaper way to do what they want to do, just like we did with offshoring post Great Recession. We saw a lot of this sort of entry basic work going to offshore dev teams. And so that has been, I'm not going to say it's been a challenge, but I think it's been an interesting time to sort of try to position ourselves as the necessary experts in the field.
Are you well? How is AI impacting your coding? Or, again, I think, myself, I want to know that the dev shop that I'm working with is going to be very efficient. And so, obviously, using the best tools that are available, and I believe that, the tools have, I mean, exponentially improved. I don't know if that's your observation or that's how you would describe it. But how would you address that when a client's like, well, tell me how you guys work, and I want to make sure that, I'm not paying for, the way that development was done back in 2018. You're doing development the way that I would imagine you would be, so that we can get to market faster, we can get, it could be more cost efficient, get better outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be perfectly frank, like we're not AI pessimists or anti-AI here. Me and my whole team, we all use AI tooling every single day. But I think I've been kind of workshopping this line, trying to figure out exactly how to say it. So I'll give you another shot at it here. To me, the AI tooling is closer to a calculator than it is to Skynet. And what I mean by that is it is an extremely useful tool that lets me, the developer, do stuff faster, but it is not a human replacement. And so where I think that when I say that we need to position ourselves as sort of the necessary experts is AI tooling as it exists now still really needs someone who can keep an eye on the big picture to drive the machine. And so we use AI coding tools every single day. I already used it this morning. It's not even 10:30 in the morning. I already used it today. But there is not a full release of responsibility, right? We're still the ones who are designing the systems, managing the output, verifying the output, managing the input, right? So you still need to be able to ask the machine to do the right thing. And sometimes it's much less of a guessing game when you're working with experienced software developers. So we're definitely using the tools, but treating them as tools.
Humans are always at the controls, humans oversight, human sanity check-in, that sort of thing. So,
Absolutely.
well, Wyatt, to our friend that's listening, like, how might they know that they would be a really good fit for you, and what do they do?
Sure. It's a little bit of what I said earlier. I think it's, if you are running a business and you are feeling bogged down by your off-the-shelf software, if you have an Excel file that has grown to 10,000 rows and takes 2.5 minutes to boot up on your computer, and that's how you run your business, or if you're, entering data into multiple systems, you're copying and pasting out of one Google Sheet into your email account or anything like that. I'd love to have a conversation with you and talk about whether or not you're in a situation where you are ready to start thinking about, can we speed this process up by building some custom software that is exactly tailored to our business's needs?
Excellent. Your website is apsis.io. We have a link directly to that for our friend that's listening in your podcast app right now. Just kind of click around. You'll find that direct link where they can follow you, connect with you personally, and talk about their next great project. So it's been great chatting with you. Wyatt Kirby, again, co-founder of Apsis, found on the web at apsis.io. Wyatt, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Josh. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your PodVerified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.